paralysis by analysis. That's what you get from the other guys. But not here. Not now. Not ever. This is the Baseball Insider Show presented by SEPTA, a deep look inside the game. The Baseball Insider Show presented by SEPTA is broadcasting live from Tony's Place in Ivyland and is brought to you in part by SEPTA, BCWSA, Rob's Automotive, Vince Siriani and Contour Mortgage, Marriott Suites in Clearwater Beach, Harris Comfort, Penn Community Bank, McCaffrey Supermarkets, Peruzzi Auto Group, Keenan's in North Wildwood, and the Southern Ocean County Chamber of Commerce. We now go live to Tony's Place in Ivyland for the Baseball Insider Show presented by SEPTA. Now, here are your hosts, John Brazier and Tommy Green.
All right, welcome to the Baseball Insider Show presented by SEPTA. I'm John Brazier, Director of Fun and Games, so it's Fightin' Phils, and I'm joined by my co-host, Tommy Green.
They got it right this
Tater
time.
Tater Green, they got
yeah,
it right.
Yeah, I'm not Ricky Metallico today.
You know, I think that I think when they get the name of the host wrong, that bodes poorly for the week, yeah. Right? And that's why we had a poor week against the Rangers.
I'll tell you right? What, man. I mean, that wasn't pretty.
It wasn't pretty.
It hadn't been pretty for the last almost 3 weeks.
Well, there was two highlights, which we'll get into, and we'll get into the first game of the doubleheader on Sunday, which it looked like another doom and gloom loss to the Nationals, and then we showed some life in the ninth inning. We'll talk about that. We'll talk about Friday night against the Pirates, which is games we should have where the pitchers go six innings, and then you have the rotation. Benoit was talking about how they don't know their roles. Well, role should be what happened on Friday night where you had Neshek come in the seventh inning, you had Benoit in the eighth inning, and you had Neris close it out in the ninth, and it was a clean game. And then, obviously, we'll get into the Rupp hitting the three-run home run to put it away. But those are the two we'll discuss. We'll discuss also the Rangers series. And you know what? I think they've won 11 games in a row. So
they were. You know, we caught them at the wrong time, I think.
Yeah, and so we're not getting the luck these days, but obviously we're not getting pitching. So we'll talk about that. But we are going to talk about, by the way, we are here at Tony's Place in Ivyland. Love this place.
Look, this place is awesome out here.
We are outdoor.
There's nothing better than this right here.
Outdoor deck right here. Beautiful weather. This is awesome. I think we'll have Joe on in 2 seconds, but I found out that they have the best craft beer selection in Bucks County, and we're about to taste the tomato pies. So I am very excited. So we'll talk about that. We're going to talk about the hottest team in baseball, the Lehigh Valley Iron Pigs, and some of the young.
Might need to switch places.
Well, yeah, I tell you what, especially some of the young
team down there, bring that team up here and let's go at them.
We'll talk about Rhys Hoskins, but also, you know, the guy who got off to a slow start, Dylan Cousins, was the International Player of the Week last week, and he had an unbelievable week. We'll talk about that. Also, some of the young superstars, another guy we've been talking about, but Scott Kingery also had a great week.
Yes,
I think he's up to 11 home runs, and the guy's not even a home run hitter.
Our minor league system is doing what they did last year again.
Yep.
So, I mean, you cannot ask for anything better than our system, what they're doing.
You're exactly right. We will discuss the bullpen situation, debate when is the right time to drop guys off the 40-man roster and bring in some new arms. I'll talk about some of the stats of guys potentially could replace some of the guys. We'll go around the league. Believe it or not, we're going to talk Tebow mania. Tebow's drawing some big crowds around minor league baseball.
He's such a good guy, man.
Yeah.
I mean, and he's so personal. People want to meet him.
Right.
I mean, he's that type of dude.
And he did something did you hear about this?
He did something that
caused the fan a little anguish. We'll talk about that.
I don't know if I did or not.
We have a big injury to a division rival superstar. Tommy, I want to spend a segment talking about retaliation rules in baseball because there was something that went on in the Dodgers game, Marlins, and you know, when is enough enough? But I want to get you're from the old school, so I want to kind of talk about that. We'll talk about the Mets injuries. See whether it's systemic to see is it the Mets? You know, are they having all these injuries because they're whatever, their training or their workout rates? We'll talk about that. And I want to get into a crazy game that took place. I read it to you on the way back from a golf tournament. That crazy game.
As you're icing your ankle.
As I was icing my ankle. And by the way, I do have to admit that Tommy and I played in a charity golf tournament. A couple things that were a little odd is that we finished second with 16 under. Right?
Yeah.
So you think, we were 14 under.
Yeah.
16 under one.
Mm-hmm.
We were 14 under. You would think that would win, right?
But, right there.
And especially, it was a tough course, very hilly.
Yeah.
And then B, if you get second place, you're going to get a good prize. We got nothing. We walked out of there with?
Nothing.
A bad ankle. A swollen foot.
You didn't walk out of there. You limped out of there.
I hit a ball into a creek. Tommy is on the top of the creek. He's pointing out where my ball is. I could have just walked around, going around the bridge and going to get, or I could have just left the ball there.
Yeah.
Or I could have just walked around and got the ball. But
he had a flashback.
What do I do? I didn't even tell you what I was doing.
He had a flashback, and I turned back, and he was in midair.
In golf shoes.
And it was a bigger drop than he thought.
Yeah, it was a big
one. It was a good 6-foot drop.
And I didn't land on even ground, and I think I landed on hard ground, and I might have even landed on like a big whatever root.
The rating of the 1 to 10 scale, the landing was 2.
I think it was 1.5. Russian judge gave it a 1.5.
Yeah, maybe. You know, it was ugly. It was all but maybe going back into the creek. I mean, it was one of those type things. Yeah. I was worried you were going to hit and be in anguish and fall back into the and then I would have howled. Laughed, you know. I wouldn't have been able to save myself, but I knew you were hurt.
Well, my wife thinks I'm completely ridiculous because I've now have been putting ice, and I've had a wrap. I even went to the urgent care to make sure I didn't tear anything.
I got a heel print on my dash for the ride home.
So we won't talk about that. I think that covers that. We will preview today's game at 1:35 versus the Pirates and set you up for today's game. But first, Tom, let's bring on Joe Malamachi, the owner of Tony's Place Bar and Grill here in Ivyland, PA. And if you are in this area, please, we'll be here for a while, so come on down, say hi to Tommy Green, one of the great pitchers of all time.
No, I don't want to go that far.
And Joe, thanks for having us today.
Welcome to Ivyland.
This is great, and as Tommy said in the opening, I mean, look at this. You got this outdoor deck, which is awesome, especially on a perfect day like this. You got a nice little breeze. Take a look at the menu. I'm very excited. You guys are known for your tomato pie?
Right, yeah, long history of tomato pies.
Okay, now there's a big family history, right, with your family starting in South Philly?
Correct.
So tell us a little about the history.
So my grandparents, great uncle started the restaurant in South Philly, and then they came to Northeast in Mayfair in the 50s, where my parents had a restaurant for nearly 60 years.
And still had the place in South Philly, or they?
That had closed up.
Okay.
And my parents just retired and sold the restaurant in Northeast now.
Okay, great. And then when did you move out to the Bucks County?
So my wife and I, we opened this restaurant 11 years ago.
Okay, great.
And it's been great
ever
since.
And I have to admit, it is outstanding. Every time I've been here, the food's been unbelievable.
And so tomato pie, but also I saw a boar sausage, wild boar sausage?
Tahi tuna they have here.
That's your go-to, Tommy?
That's my get. Yeah, I like it. Yeah, you can get it whatever you want. I get it on a sandwich. It's awesome.
Nice. And you also mentioned that you have 100 and plus
120 selection bottle beers. Oh. We have 20 craft beers on draft.
That would have been dangerous for me back in the day.
Yeah, right. That's awesome. And also, do you guys have, I'm sure you have bands and some.
We do some live music.
Wine tasting or some other thing, events you have?
We do some great craft beer dinners, wine dinners through the summer.
Okay.
We do live entertainment inside Friday and Saturday evenings.
Yeah, the music's good too.
Great. All right.
I mean, it's going to cost me. My wife's already seen the outside here, and she says she wants it in our backyard.
Uh-oh.
You know, the way the setup is back there. So I'm going to hold you accountable for that one.
And we're doing the same thing. So that's why I didn't bring my wife here.
You're smart.
Yeah, right. Well, it helps too. My daughter has a swim meet. But all right. Well, Joe, really appreciate that. Thanks for having us here.
Thanks for coming.
And we are looking forward to, we're going to sample the air and give you a real-time critique, which you know, you look at us too.
I missed a meal, so yeah. You don't have to worry about me.
You don't have to worry about me either. Craig LeBan is not in the area, so you're good. All right, but again, thank you very much.
Great. Happy to have
all
you.
Right, all right, Joe Malamachi. Right, thanks, Joe. Thank all right, well, let's talk about, we'll get through the positive, as we mentioned, the week in baseball. And since we were on before the games last Sunday, right? The first game, again, it looked like we were down for the count. Hellickson started, 5 innings pitch, gave up 3 runs, was fine. But the problem was we weren't doing anything. Gonzalez held us to 6 2/3, earned run. But then that dreaded Nationals bullpen comes in.
Yeah.
And Sean Kelly, who I believe might have been sent down this week, but he only got 1 out and gave up 3 earned runs. So it was Aaron Altair, if you remember, homer to the left to start off the inning. And then because of a rough double, and then Ty Kelly ended up being the hero, getting the game-winning hit. Phils go on to win that game. And I tell you what, that was a big game. You needed a win. Obviously, you didn't know what's going to go on with the Texas series. But
yeah, I'm just looking at the pitcher's note there, and I'm trying to remember back for the game because it was last week with Hellickson. He threw 75 pitches. What was the reason he came out was of the ball game?
You know what? I'm trying to I'm trying to forget.
Yeah,
right. I am forgetting.
I mean, it was five innings, 75 pitches. Is there a reason why? So, I mean, that's one of the things I'm concerned with, because that's what we've been talking about more so is the length of the starters getting deeper in game. So it keeps the bullpen out of there from getting worn down and overused, you know, and pitching in situations they, so to speak, don't like or, you know, are not accustomed to.
Right. Well, I'm not sure, actually. So
that's a good, that's a good question. Maybe we can find that out during the break.
Why am I blanking here?
Well, I don't know.
We'll go back to it. Second game, it was a tough one. They came back. Nationals came back to score two runs off Neshek, and Neshek never gives up any runs. First runs he's given up all year. So a very tough one. So then we get into Texas, and again, we'll go quickly because it was ugly. Texas was the hottest team in baseball, continued to be the hottest team in baseball.
You run into a buzzsaw, that's tough. Yeah, that's what they were.
Yeah, I mean, it was a buzzsaw, and it was the buzzsaw was Yu Darvish, who was a free agent after this year. Not that the Phillies will probably go after him, but Yu Darvish is a free agent. Seven innings pitched, one earned run. It was the Yu Darvish that they got before the injury.
I mean, 95 pitches, 70 strikes.
Right.
I mean, and probably, you know, 65 curveballs. Or what breaking balls he threw that day. It seemed like. And he was throwing 98.
And
so, I mean, it shows you what type of stuff he has. He was throwing wiffle balls up there, and the balls were breaking so goofy. I mean, it was unbelievable.
Right, and Eichhoff pitched a good game. And this is against his former team that he got traded, if you remember, in the Hamels trade.
Quality start, six innings, two earned runs.
Two earned runs, right. Eight strikeouts, only two walks.
Well, that's a hard hang with him, is what you say.
Right, so that was a tough one. That started the real tough one, because Zach Eflin pitched the next game. We ended up. It just got we were down already 1-0 in the first. It just got progressively worse. We're down 9-0, and only due to a Saunders home run in the seventh and a Franco single made it 9-3. But it was not pretty.
Nah.
And then you had Pivetta. Pivetta got sent down after the game. He only went 4 2/3, which is a common theme of the Phillies.
Well, I mean, you thought he was having, a good start, maybe a breakthrough outing, because it was, you know,
right.
Until
he
the fifth
inning.
Away.
He's one out away.
Until the fifth inning, he hadn't had any trouble, and he could not get through the fifth. And, I mean, he had 106 pitches to do 4 2/3.
Right, 107.
Me personally, I'm letting the guy get the extra guy.
Yeah, why would
I'm facing that last guy.
If he gets that
guy.
One out, then he potentially get the win.
He qualifies for a win.
Right.
But, you know, to me, the big thing, it gets him, I mean, you let the kid get out of trouble.
I agree. I totally agree.
I mean, that's just my thing. I mean, I understand you're trying to help. I mean, you know, say to speak, take care of the guy. I mean, but him he's one pitch away from getting out of the inning.
Right.
So, I mean, give him an extra batter, and then if he throws 110, 12 pitches, so what? You know, I mean, that's the limit. You give him that extra batter. If he doesn't get it, he's gone. Yeah.
Well, so. Rodriguez comes in, and, man, it was uglier than when Benoit gave up the five runs, because – Rodriguez, it was just hit, home run.
Did you see the gas can he brought in with him?
Yeah,
they had the spark out there already, because he threw a can of gas on that place out there.
Exactly,
it just
right.
Exploded.
2/3 inning, 6 hits, 7 earned runs. 7 earned runs. Gets 2 outs and 7 earned runs. So
we've all had those days, though. I mean, you just have to where you don't matter what you throw up there, it's getting hit.
Yep, it was just it was ugly. So no doubt about it. It was definitely ugly. The good news is Franco did hit a home run.
And the sun came out the next day.
Joseph hit a home run, and the sun came out the next day. Exactly right. All right, let's get into just the good news is Friday night. So we get out of Texas, right? It was ugly. Friday night, we finally get the Pittsburgh Pirates. Finally get a team that's not on a hot streak. And
we put them on a hot streak.
Yeah, exactly. Well, one game, Cameron Rupp did hit a three-run home run in the ninth.
I tell you what, he's strong as like bull, right?
He is.
Yeah, I mean, he's like a mini bull.
Did you think that was going out when he hit that? He did.
I mean, when I knew, because I've seen him play enough, I know his power is the right center. I mean, center and over to right.
Right.
That's where he goes. I knew when he hit. I said that ball might be out if it stays fair.
Yeah, and he knew right off the bat.
Oh, he crushed it.
Yeah.
I mean, that ball was like 15 rows deep up there.
Yeah.
I mean, that was a long way he hit that ball.
Yeah, and I tell you what, Hellickson had a strong night. Phils win 7-2, but Hellickson only allowed two runs, one earned, over six innings.
And the way that game started out, you thought, oh, no, here we go again, right out of bed.
Two runs, an error.
Yeah, I mean, it was like, and he didn't give up another hit.
Yep. Yeah, he went.
It was unbelievable.
He retired 16 after the Pirates scored two runs in the first. Hellickson went on to retire 16 of the next 17 batters, and he threw 31 pitches in the first inning, and then he only needed 53 to get through the next five. And he left because he tweaked his back, which hopefully he's going to be okay. He said he was okay.
Well, that's the thing. But, I mean, he tweaked it swinging. I mean, he's got a good hack, believe it or not. I mean, but
yeah, got an RBI.
I mean, he ended up hitting a double after he tweaked his back the next pitch. But those type of injuries with the lower back, I'm anxious to see how he's feeling today and tomorrow. After a little bit of work, you know, he's going to have to throw on the side
right,
and to see how this thing's going to do, because those things can be nasty. I'm telling you. I mean, if it gets
– Well, it wasn't the oblique, right?
No, I don't think – they're saying lower back, but I've had a lower back thing, but mine was a little different, so to speak. But still, when you start dealing with lower back stuff, it affects your legs. Yep. When you don't use your legs, you start getting in trouble.
Well, let's cross our fingers. So the Phils get that one. And then just yesterday before we go to break – Pirates get a two-out RBI hit from McCutchen and Frazier. They get a home run by David Freese. They end up winning 6-3. Ivan Nova, the former Yankees pitcher, had a good game, went 7 3rd, gave up 3 runs, 3 Ks, 0 walks. Velasquez, it's the same issues that he's having, that he's just too many pitches. He gave up 5 runs, 7 hits, 2 walks. 4 of the runs came in the 6th inning, so he's having these big innings. And he was quoted, you can tell he's lost, because his quotes even after the game said, "I'm just clueless right now. I'm just running around like a chicken without a head." He finished short of the 7th inning for the 6th time in 8 starts, so he hasn't got to the 7th inning, and his pitch count was 62 pitches after 3 innings. So he's got, he's a power pitcher, but what does he have to change?
Well, I mean, if you saw the CSN show, I was on pre and post yesterday, and I said it right off the bat to Marshall and all the guys there. I said he's not hitting his secondary pitches. I mean, you can throw as hard as you want and have as good as fastball as you want. If you're not locating,
right?
You know, and he's not.
Right.
And he's not locating like he started off okay. He did pretty good. And then he kind of started losing it, you know, location-wise a little bit. But he was not hitting with his secondary pitches. And as you saw Pete in his post-game interview, if you saw that, Pete said that.
Yeah,
you know, and I said it right off the bat. I said he's got this stuff. He's got to tighten up that breaking ball, that slider. I think if he could tighten up that slider a little bit and throw it for strikes, and get to that point, that's going to change around for him. I know, because I was there. I was that guy.
Right.
I had that type of say to speak, you know, arms fastball guy that needed a breaking ball that I could throw behind in the count for a strike. And that slider ended up being the one, because I told him I was going to throw it, and because I felt confident I could. I mean, the more I threw it, I could start getting better command of it, and that's exactly what happened. But he needs to tighten it up, and then not trying to make it break 3 feet. The slider does not break 3; it breaks like in a box like this, you know, 6 to 10 inches maybe, if that. I mean, it looks like your heater coming out of your hand and disappears a little bit, and if you get good at it, you can change speeds on it. You jam it back. I mean, there's a lot of different things you can do with it. If he could ever grasp a hold of that, he could be filthy. I mean, that's where he's at right now. He's a young guy that hadn't figured it out yet. But I can tell you what, I said it on air last night. There's not nobody in this game is going to feel sorry for you up there, because there's people who want your job.
Yep.
And this is not about, you know, he cannot feel sorry for himself. Somebody's got to, you know, it's either going to be one of the guys, teammates, or it's going to be one of the coaches. And I was fortunate enough to have a coach and stuff, you know, with the Braves and also the Phillies, that if I kind of got in that little rut, could give me a little swift kick in the butt a little bit.
You had Lee Mazzoni and Johnny Padres.
And Johnny Padres was one, but I'm talking maybe a coach on the outside a little bit. John Vukovich was mine. He cared about me. I mean, he would get in my grill when I needed to get it. Because I was a kid. I was young, you know. And there's nobody going to feel sorry for you. You know, sometimes you need to get, you know, challenged to be better. And maybe this is that situation, because, I mean, it's sort of like this, you know. It's sort of like the where's the wine and cheese
to
go along with the violin. It's time to go now, you know. So it's something's got to change.
All right, a couple things. We do have a pair of tickets to give away, and we'll make that announcement. And it's to listeners or the people that are here, here at Tony's Place. But also, the food just got delivered, so I'm going to go to break. But, Joe, real quick, what do we have here?
So we have the signature tomato pie right in front of you.
Okay.
We have a breakfast pizza that we do as well. Egg, bacon, cheese.
Nice.
And then we also have a crab and Old Bay flatbread.
What is that?
Crab and Old Bay.
Wow.
Okay. Wow. That sounds like my wife right there.
All right. She said, Wendy's already eating it. All right. Coming up in the show, we mentioned the minor leagues. We'll talk about the minor leagues, and we'll go through some other Philly stats from the week. You're listening to the Baseball Insider Show, presented by Septon 1490 WBCB. We are live from Tony's Place in Ivyland, PA.
Hey, this is Paul Stanley.
And this is Gene Simmons. And you're listening to the Baseball Insider Show, presented by SEPTA, with Phillies Director of Fun and Games, John Brazier, and co-host Tommy Green. Am I getting paid for this? I am. The check cleared? All right. Then I love this show.
All right, we are back to the Baseball Insider Show, presented by SEPTA, live at Tony's Place in Ivyland, PA. I'm John Brazier, joined by my co-host Tommy Green, and that was that Peter Chris?
No, it was
Paul Stanley.
Paul Stanley and,
wasn't
Gene,
Ace Frehley?
And Gene Simmons.
It was Gene Simmons, and yes, and I had your wife listen to the intro.
Yeah.
We've had different celebrities do this, and she commented on it, so at least she had a clean comment.
Yeah.
Right?
That's awesome.
Yeah.
You're the man, by the way.
Well, you know, someone's got to do it. But
that's how you roll, right?
That's how I roll, Tommy. But again, we're here at Tony's Place. Come on down if you're in the area. I want to again thank Joe Malamachi, the owner here. Also, thanks Ray Klein, who's from Libertas Consulting, who helped set up this whole technology with the Facebook and all the speakers and everything. So I know that I couldn't do it. Are you mechanically able? Like, who does the handiwork around the house?
I mean, that would be. I mean, I did a lot of it, but
when I want it done right,
like if you're talking, you know, water leaks and stuff like that, pipes, I can solder and do different things like that, but I'd rather get the qualified guy in there and do it.
Right.
I've done that work. But.
Right. I can put a plug into a socket. I'm pretty good at that.
Oh, are you icing your foot in water while you're doing that?
Yes, I am. All right. So, all right.
Exactly. You're never going to live this down,
no,
by
it's
the
fine.
Way.
And you know what? There's always an injury with me. There's always an injury. I had a foot injury from running on the beach when I was down in spring training. I finally tried to do some exercise, and look what happened. So that just shows you that exercise is bad. And by the way, speaking of good, that pizza is fantastic. I know, you know.
You started breathing again. You inhaled like two pieces of it.
I had that crab Old Bay pizza. Man, it was awesome. I'm staring at the tomato pie, or maybe it's staring at me right now. So it's we will get to that in a little bit. All right, fighting Phils. We'll go through just some stats so far. So, you know, obviously I think we have the third worst record in baseball, which I guess that just leaves room for improvement. So,
yes,
hopefully the pitching, and it's really the pitching, the offense has been actually much better
than
last year.
We were scoring over a run, almost going towards a run and a half, going towards that, maybe a run and a quarter than we did last year.
Right.
Which it had to get better than what it did last year a little bit. But the offense is doing some positive things, and it's a good sign.
Right.
But to win – you have to have
the full team.
Like a good mix going on.
So, you know, some of the positives, you know, Hernandez has been a positive, hitting .303. He's got 4 home runs, 6 stolen bases. He's been a real catalyst at the top of the lineup.
He's been your steady Eddie for the last almost year.
Yeah.
Since mid-season last year.
Yep. And Aaron Altair, obviously, he is a write-in candidate for the All-Star game. Aaron Altair has continued to hit, hitting .311. He's got 8 home runs, 25 RBIs, 9 doubles. He's been a great surprise.
He's the guy I thought he had a chance to be before he got hurt in spring training last year.
And it's still a little early, but he's really making himself a candidate for a full-time position because he already plays great defense.
Yeah, that's what I loved about him. And it was all about his offensive, prowess he was going to have if he hadn't got hurt last year. And, you know, he had to go through a lot, and he learned a lot about himself and what he needed to do maybe to change. And I think along with him and Stairsy, Stairsy got a good chance to look at him last year being in the booth.
Right.
And now that he's the hitting coach, got to maybe implement something and maybe bring to his attention a little bit of a change that I think he bought into during spring training, and it shortened him to the ball because he is a tall, longer guy, lankier guy that sometimes if you don't watch out, can get a little long to the ball, and that's what was happening. And pitchers see that, and they exploit that a little bit. But now he's shorter to the ball, and it's hard to do. I mean, he can hurt you now a lot more.
Exactly right. And then we have other positives. Tommy Joseph is really coming on strong. Tommy Joseph, his hitting average was very low, but he's now hitting .256. He's got 6 home runs, 8 doubles. He's really come from a long way, and
a couple guys
having a great May.
A couple guys are doing that to come along. Those two have come along together, so to speak. It's been Joseph and Rupp.
And Rupp, I was about to get to him.
And those two have come along together because they struggled early, and now obviously we need that, but we need you know, to keep going, we need the guys to say to speak that we're
we're
counting on.
Well,
Herrera
being one of them,
and Franco the other.
Yeah, yeah. Franco's in 224.
But he's starting to do things in a positive manner over the past, you know, 4 or 5 games.
Yep, from a pitching point of view, you know, Hellickson's been the beacon of light. He's 5-1. He went through a little bit of a rough stretch, but he's 5-1. Eflin has been good except for that last outing. Really, he's
got out of hand, and it caused his numbers to go up pretty bad. Yep. You know, but. That's just the way that went. And Eflin has been solid up to that point.
Exactly.
You know,
right.
So, I mean, but you still, to be pitching, you have to win, you have to have pitching and defense, and you can't make the bonehead play in defensive. But pitching, if you got 3 of your guys doing decent in the rotation, I mean.
Yeah.
I mean, you're good. We don't have that.
Right.
You know, we're not going deep in games, and we're not, you know. We got to have more of that,
But it's there because, you know, Hellickson's shown what he can do.
Mm-hmm.
Eflin's been a you know, again, a positive, I believe, and I think hopefully he can only get better. Eichhoff's off to a bad start. He's 0-4 to the 4.53, but I think he's too much of a competitor, and he was such a
solid. Maybe straightened himself out a little bit the other day because he got in that rut for a couple starts where his command, he didn't have command of, and you hadn't seen that. He didn't have the command of the breaking ball. And the other day he did.
Right.
I mean, and you can see what happens when he does that because he's not an overpowering guy. He has to make pitches, and that curveball is a big part of his repertoire. And when he doesn't have that, it you know, it's all about survival then. I mean, he's got to find a way to survive. And that's the big dilemma, you know, in big league baseball. I mean, far as being on a big league team, is when you're not at your best, can you survive? Can you figure out a way to keep the team right there, give us a chance to win? And that's the key. And right now, we're not, say to speak, doing that.
Yeah.
And some aspects, some of them. You know, and that's, we got to do that.
Well, I think getting Nola back in the lineup tonight, today, will be good. He's 2-0, it's 4.50 ERA, but he seemed to be pitching better towards his last couple starts. He had a nice rehab outing.
You want him is to be healthy. That way, you can just let him go and see if we can get him back on track and be the guy we saw last year before he got hurt.
Yeah,
that's the big thing.
And the talent's there. Again, of all the guys I just mentioned, talent's there. We're still giving up way too many home runs. Hellickson's giving up 9. So is Velasquez.
Velasquez has been his nemesis.
Yeah, Eichhoff has given up 6. Pivetta gave up 5. Eflin's given up 4. So you're looking at, and then you look at the bullpen. You know, Netschek's been the real bright spot. 1.17 ERA, had that one bad outing, but just even looking at the home runs given up. I mean, Rodriguez 6.97 ERA, giving up 4 home runs.
Well, I mean, you can look. I mean, what are we, a quarter or way through the season, maybe?
Right.
I mean, you can multiply. I mean, what is the normal starts? If these guys make all the starts, you're probably looking at how many starts per year. You know. Close to 35, 33, 35. So you can multiply all these numbers by 4.
Yeah, the starting position.
Yeah.
34 home runs total by the starting pitching.
But you can multiply all these numbers by 4 if it stays on the current path. They're on the wrong way. Yeah, well, I mean.
And then you combine that with 26 home runs given up by the bullpen. So.
Yeah, I mean, we're giving up way too many long balls. Yeah. I mean, and solo homers are one thing, and you can overcome those. But if you start getting up 2 and 3 runs, that's the issue.
Right.
You know, it's hard to come back from those.
Right. All right. Coming up on the show, we will be talking about the minor league system, and we'll go through some baseball. There's some crazy stories that have gone on in baseball, especially with Tim Tebow. You're listening to the Baseball Insider Show, presented by Septon 1490 WBCB. We're live from Tony's Place in Iveland, PA.
Hi, this is Morgan Freeman. Paralysis by analysis. That is what you get from the other baseball guys. But this is the Baseball Insider Show. Presented by SEPTA with Phillies Director of Fun and Games, John Brazier, and co-host Tommy Green. Meet me at the tree in Mexico.
All right, we are back to the Baseball Insider Show, presented by SEPTA. We are live at Tony's Place in Iveland, PA, and that was Morgan Freeman.
It was Morgan Freeman.
Morgan Freeman. So we've already had Morgan Freeman, and we've had not Peter Chris or Ace Frehley. We had Paul Stanley, and we had Gene Simmons, of course.
Yeah, can't forget Gene.
And I'm John Brazier. And
that's my favorite rock group, by the way. I grew up with those guys. Yeah.
Yeah, I think I told you last show that I saw the 3D version when they had the big screen and a tongue came right at you. I'm sure that traumatized a lot of people.
It was a lot of nightmares after that.
Exactly right. So, All right, again, we are here at Tony's Place. Come on down. I've tried now the tomato pie. Awesome. Unbelievable. Oh, we also had, yes, Chris Ermer reminded me, we had Mini Kiss last year.
A little kiss.
Yeah. Yes, they were vertically challenged people that came out. I think that's a politically correct way of saying it, right?
Are you talking about my wife a little bit? Are you talking about my wife over here?
Yes.
Vertically challenged?
I think that's, I was trying to be politically correct, right? So yeah, I think that's how you say it. So, sorry, Wendy. Well, you did tell me she's the last one to know it's raining.
Yeah, that's true.
That's it. All right, let's give away some tickets. Saturday's game, Saturday of Memorial Day weekend, and it's for anybody here that is dining here at Tony's Place. So you can win two tickets to the game at 4 o'clock on Saturday versus the Reds. Again, a 4 o'clock game, Saturday versus the Reds.
Tickets, two tickets to the
two
Reds
tickets.
Game.
And I've got them right here. So anybody here that's sitting here that's listening to the show, and we might have to have some people go around and kind of repeat the question. But the question is very simple. What player leads the Phillies so far in RBIs? What player on the Phillies leads a team in RBIs? The first one that comes up here from the restaurant, can I'll be hand them two tickets to Saturday's game. Again, what player leads the Phillies in RBIs so far? So that is the question. Someone's going to win two tickets. So, all right, let's get into the positive. We were talking about the Major League team. Let's go into the minor league team because we'll start with Lehigh Valley. They are up four games. They went on an incredible win streak.
You know, they started out a little sluggish, didn't they?
Yeah, and they're 9-1 in their last 10 games. They've had very exciting games. They're 28-14. They're up four games on the second-place team. And some of the guys are doing very well. Pedro Florimond, who's in camp, sitting 345. But the guy that's really hit every step that he's gone into the minor leagues, the guy is destined for the major leagues at some point. And it's too early now because you have Tommy Joseph at first base. But this guy will cause himself to have a role.
If he keeps doing it, he's going to force an issue of somebody to find a place for him somewhere. I mean, with Hoskins, I mean, he's going to force that type of issue. And it's a good problem to have because when it comes down to time to do some things and then the Phillies maybe got a chance to get somebody to turn a corner.
Yep.
They got something they can move with. You got Joseph here. You got Hoskins. You can give him a chance to play somewhere else. Mm-hmm. I mean, it all depends on how things work out, who's doing well and who's not.
Someone could be a trade. You could use that trade chip.
Yep.
But Hoskins hitting 322. He's got 12 home runs. So last year he finished with 39 home runs. He and Dylan Cousins were the Bash Brothers, but he's got 12 home runs, 36 RBIs. But the stat that I love the best, other than 407 on base percentage, which is tremendous, but he has 21 walks and against 27 Ks.
Yeah.
So that's great for a guy who's a power hitter. 21 walks, 27 Ks.
He's finding other ways to get on base other than, hitting a long ball or hitting, period.
Right.
Yeah. It shows you he's got a pretty decent eye, and that's what you want. He's maturing as a hitter, you know, and not chasing a lot.
And speaking of chasing.
A lot.
Speaking of chasing, now the numbers for Alfaro, I know there's a cry for Alfaro to come up because he is, you know, a great hitter. He's still working on his defense.
He's got a great arm.
Got a great arm. But Alfaro's hitting .293, three home runs. But here's the issue. I think this is why he's not up. And obviously, Rupp's playing well, and Rupp has established himself so far. But he's not really contending right now to come up. In my opinion, he's got two walks all season. And against 43 strikeouts. So
you know we used to say back in the day.
He can't walk off the island.
Yeah, I mean, you got to swing your way. I mean, you're rowing that boat, man. And that's what they do. They're hitting way off the island. So you've probably seen it too, being down in big league camp and all the thing you see all the time. You see a lot of the big league pitchers sometimes go and pitch in minor league camp.
Right.
And they're facing some A-ball team or maybe a rookie ball team. They're just getting their work in. Right. And
they're swinging.
And they end up getting lit up.
Right.
Why? Because those guys have not seen a fastball that they don't think they can hit.
Right.
And they'll go get it. And that's what they do. So you have to basically pitch those guys backwards.
Right.
All the time. If you pitch them backwards, you kill them. And, I mean, it's about the learning side of it. But Alfaro's got a – He's got to learn. He's got that to see pitches and, I mean, learn that strike zone. I mean, it's good coverage. He's got hitting almost, 300. Yeah. Showing yeah. that when he hits it, he hits for average.
Right.
That's a good knack.
Right.
But he could be so much better if he learns the zone a little bit better.
And that's an easy thing to learn. You know what I mean? Well, it should be easy.
Yeah.
You know, just more patience and pitch selection.
Well, I mean, that comes in the maturation process, too, a little bit. You know, but I think – I think the big thing they worry about with Alfaro is him, the calling of games and that side of it. I think it's going to help
right.
the pitchers. They want him to get a little bit more savvy at that.
Yep. Dylan Cousins, I mentioned before, 11 home runs. He's got 14 walks and 62 Ks.
He's waking up, huh?
He's completely waking up. And I tell you what, he had a great week last week.
Yeah, it was good to see him wake up after the year he had last year. You'd like to see the guys like Hoskins, you know, and him continue on that path to give that push and nudge up here at the big league level for the guys to improve and keep improving up here. And because you got somebody knocking at their heels a little bit, you know, and that's what needs to happen. That a little bit of challenge. So it's good to see him wake up a little bit that can challenge these outfielders a little bit and to get him in there.
Well, he was the International Player of the Week. He had, I think, several walk-off home runs. We have Rob here who won the tickets. The answer was Mikel Franco.
Yeah.
Who, congratulations, yeah. Rob.
Thank you.
Appreciate you having here.
He's got that knack of driving them in.
A lot of people probably wouldn't have thought that because he's not having a great season. But where are you from, Rob?
Philadelphia.
Philadelphia. All right. Well, thank you, Rob, for winning the tickets. And
yeah.
We'll see you Saturday at the game, 4:05.
Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. Awesome. All right. But, yeah.
And what? That's the 27th. I'll be there. I'll
be there.
That day.
All right.
So we'll see you
Tommy
there.
Green.
All yeah, right. We'll be there.
So, again, Dylan Cousins, 11 home runs. Starting to turn it up. He was off to a slow start, but he had an incredible, very dramatic, again, a lot of game-winning hits, some game-winning home runs. On the pitching side, three guys to look out for that could be potential call-ups. Now, again, we are full on the 40-man roster.
Yeah.
So the reason why you're seeing Garcia coming up or Morgan coming up, they're on the roster. So at some point, you know, depending on if some of the guys keep doing well that aren't on the 40-man roster in AAA or people
well, they,
are...
Well, they've already got so many options, they can bring them up and down, right?
Right,
I mean, so they got to make a decision.
Right. Well, but by the way, let's go back to Cousins. Sorry. The week of May 18, 8 to 14,
yeah.
He was International Player of the Week. He hit .393. With a double, four home runs, eight RBIs, eight runs scored, hit a pair of walk-off home runs, as well as a game-tying two-out RBI single to send the game, which they ended up winning Friday night. So that's Cousins. But, yeah, the three guys, pitchers, Pat Venditti, we saw him in spring training. He
yeah.
is, as Shaq used to say, the amphibious
Amphibious
pitcher.
Guys?
Yeah, right and left. He's 4-0 with a 0.00 ERA, 22 innings pitched, giving up five hits. And he's
why is he there?
He's a lefty and a righty because he's not.
Why is he there?
Because he's not on the 40-man roster, and I guess we got.
I think you need to find a place for a guy yeah. like that because he's. I mean, he's a veteran. I mean, does he have overpowering stuff? No, but he's finding a way to get people out.
Yeah, and
now can he get people up at this level?
And he can go lefty on lefty. And Hobie Milner, another guy. Hobie Milner would be left unprotected. The Rule 5. He got picked up by Cleveland, drafted by Cleveland, and then Cleveland let him go towards the end of spring training. Thankfully for the Phils, because he's gone 15.2 innings pitched, 9 hits, 2 walks, 13 Ks. The closer for is Bieto. He pitched for the Mets last year.
Yeah.
He's got a 1.69 ERA, 13 saves. So there's some options down there. Also, down in Reading. Reading is 23-14. They're a half game out. Some of the stars
who's ahead of them?
Andrew Pullen, the guy, same thing, was exposed to the draft. No one drafted him, Rule 5. He's hitting
Those stories like that are so cool.
Yeah,
I like that.
And this guy is, again, someone to look at. He was in camp. Andrew Pullen, .342, 9 home runs, 29 RBIs.
That's getting it done right
totally
there, man.
Totally getting it done. And then Kingery, we saw what he can do in spring training. He's hitting .272, 11 home runs, 25 RBIs, 9 stolen bases. And even there's a shortstop down there, Canelo, who's hitting .316, and Tochi, who seems like he's been in our farm system for years, hitting .315. Now, again, another bullpen options. We have two guys down there. This guy, Jessen Therrien. I'm probably butchering his name. Jessen Therrien hit 2-1 with a 1.19 ERA. Look at this stat, Tommy. He's got 7 saves, but look at the stat. 3 walks, 31 Ks. 3 walks, 31 Ks. He's a closer in Reading. And then another guy, Yaxel Rios, sounds like a Russian comedian. he's 1-1 with a 1.90 ERA, 6 walks, 35 Ks. So there are some options down there. So we'll see what happens, see if we see any of these names going forward. And then finally, to round that out, Threshers are 24-19. They're tied for first with two other teams.
I mean, you're showing what I mean.
And then Blue Claws are 23-19. They're in third
place.
How
good is that farm system right now with the guys? I mean, which is great.
It's the best winning percentage in baseball so far. All right. Coming up on the show, Tommy, we're going to go around Major League Baseball. There's a lot of cool stories. We'll do a little rapid-fire stories in Major League Baseball. You're listening to the Baseball Insider Show, presented by SEPTA on 1490 WBCB. We are live from Tony's Place in Iveland, PA.
Hey, what's going on? This is Tom Arnold. I like large women and painkillers. Make sure to watch and listen to the Baseball Insider Show presented by SEPTA each Sunday night right here on 1490 WBCB and at WBCB1490.com. And call your sponsor because you got a problem.
We're back to the Baseball Insider Show presented by SEPTA live from Tony's Place in Iveland, PA. I'm John Frazier, joined by my co-host Tommy Green, and we don't endorse the sayings of Tom Arnold.
No, we do not.
No, we do not. So that's obviously he's a comedian, and we can't support what he is saying. So going from there, Tommy, we will go around baseball and talk about rapid fire. We have one last segment here before Phil's game today on deck with Jim Jackson. So how about this? Sacrifice flies. Where am I going with sacrifice flies? How about this? Of Mark Trumbo's...
We're not hitting enough of them.
Well, I'm going around baseball, so I'm going to more talk... How about this? Of Mark Trumbo's last 216 RBIs, only one has been a sacrifice fly.
That's because he hits the ball out of the ballpark.
I guess he does, pretty prolifically. 216 RBIs, one has been a sacrifice. Adam Dunn went 1,085 plate appearances without a sacrifice fly. Out of those plate appearances, there were 65 chances for him to do a sac fly and not one. So I guess
65 were home runs
or strikeouts. I guess it's either the one or the other, right? Yeah, if he's hitting it, he gets it's going out.
Oh, he hits it, he mashes.
Yeah. All right. How about this one? We talked about the Rangers winning 10 games in a row, but they've used 10 different pitchers or 10 different pitchers in that winning streak have got the win. The Braves. Braves had an injury. Obviously, you got Freddie Freeman, their star. Tough because he was having an unbelievable year. They signed James Loney, and they also traded for Matt Adams, which is interesting. Is Matt Adams Cardinals? He was a big part of the Cardinals team when they were doing well, but I guess now he's in more of a platoon role, and they trade him. So the Braves.
He's got some thump too. I think if he gets around the right person, say to speak, he could do some things, say to speak, wake up a little bit more and hit some more home runs because he's got some pop.
I totally agree with you. How about Chris Sale? Chris Sale tied Pedro
for
most games in a row. I believe it's 8 games with 10 or more strikeouts. The next game, if he does it, he's got the record. So Chris Sale is a beast. Great pickup, obviously, for the Red Sox.
He's a praying mantis. That's what he looks like. Everything flying everywhere out there.
Right.
He gives you a lot of movement, say to speak.
We want to put some thoughts out to Pirates pitcher Jameson Taillon. He's upbeat. He's had testicular cancer. He had surgery, the last couple of days. So thoughts and prayers go out to him. Yep, you never want to see that. Bryce Harper, a rival scout is predicting that Bryce Harper, when he's a free agent after the 2018 season, will get close to $500 million. Now,
somebody is absolutely lost their mind.
Well, Stanton's
lost their mind giving
$325 million. So if you're the agent, you're saying, "Well, Stan can get $325 million. My guy is,
I know who his agent is. Boris.
So, but yeah, how about that one? We could be looking at $500 million for a player.
A guy could be sitting on his couch back home. It ain't nobody worth that much.
All right. Someone did a poll on, I believe it was on ESPN, the greatest writer hitter of all time. Who are you giving it to, Tommy? Hank Aaron, Miguel Cabrera, Jimmy Fox, Willie Mays, Albert Pujols, Manny Ramirez, Frank Robinson, or Mike Trout?
Let me see those. You got them written down there somewhere.
Hank Aaron, Cabrera, Fox, Mays, Pujols, Ramirez, Frank Robinson, Mike Trout. It might be Mike Trout at the end of after it's all said and done.
Greatest
right-handed hitter. So I guess I'm going to give it to Willie Mays right now, but I'm projecting the future. Mike Trout. And Cabrera's not a bad right-handed hitter either.
It's tough
to pick somebody in our era. Because you're.
Hank Aaron played for so long, and obviously was a great. Power guy. He played for how many? 20,
right.
I don't know how many years. And, just the best flat out hitter, right handed hitter in the game, It's, I mean, the stats are going to tell you the average and stuff. You know, when you start dealing with Miggy by the time the end of his career, and Trout at the end of their career. I mean, if they keep up the path, but Miggy, man, he's put up some quality numbers of being. He's that threat all the time, all the time.
He can hit anywhere. Yeah. All right, how about this one? At a Lakewood Blue Claws game, which is obviously our single-A team, Tim Tebow, who plays the Columbia Fireflies, right? Mm-hmm. Tim Tebow, and again.
That's A-ball, right?
Yeah, first of all, he's only Michael Jordan's effective minor league baseball tenants like Tim Tebow. He is basically, for when he plays on the road, he is basically doubling the attendance, the normal attendance. In fact, like in Lakewood, they get normally an attendance figure of, let's say, about 4,900 people on average. The other night they were expecting 10,000. Ended up getting rained out, but they were going to have 10,000 people there.
Okay, and out of those extra fans that come in, how many of them were female?
I'm sure there's a lot.
Because he's not married, I don't think. Right?
No, I don't think so. But I think just.
I mean, that'd be a good question. I mean, prying eyes, you know, want to know, inquisitive minds. You know, he's such a good guy. He'd be a good catch. You know? You see that all the time.
Well, we're going to start a dating service for Tim Tebow, started by Tommy Green. And the Hickory Crawdads drew more for four games versus Tebow's Fireflies, 17,000 total, than their first eight games in general, 15,000. So he is –
that's such a good thing. I mean, to have a positive influence on the game like he's having in minor league ballparks like this, because you can have a good time at a minor league ballpark.
Well, and if he stays in the league all year, they're saying that they're going to – minor league baseball – will derive an additional $3.1 million in revenue because of Tim Tebow. So it's pretty awesome. But that's all positive.
That means he needs to get paid more.
Well, that's all positive. But there's one guy that probably doesn't like Tim Tebow, and that's because at a Lakewood Blue Claws game, Tim Tebow, now when he was in the quarterback for the Jets and the Eagles and a couple other teams, he wasn't known for his accuracy, right? His arm, he was a great college quarterback, wasn't known for his accuracy. So it continues today. Because Tim Tebow threw an errant warm-up throw, and it went into the stands and hit a fan. Not only hit a fan, but he hit the fan right where it counts and knocked him out right where it counts. So live on video. So that is all caught. All right, we wanted to get into –
that shows you need to pay attention at a ball game.
You need to pay attention at a ball game. All right, how about the old school when you're talking about – there's an article by, I think it was Buster Olney, talking about the retaliation.
Yeah.
Because obviously we had some retaliation in Major League Baseball where it got a little ugly. And it's, we'll paint the scenario basically where, who are the two teams? I'm trying to think.
Were the Braves one of those with the Freeman? Or was it Toronto and...
It was Toronto.
Batista,
it was Batista, right.
Imagine him being in the center of things.
Exactly right. Batista and... And it's kind of ridiculous. Batista hit a
hold on here.
He did hit a home run, but because it was the player before got drilled. I'm really butchering this because I don't have. I'm looking up. Player got drilled, and they went after. Was it Freddie Freeman? Was that the game?
I think it might have been. It was Braves.
Yes,
Toronto.
It was. It was Freddie Freeman. Freddie Freeman gets knocked out. You know, gets hit. Now it was that wasn't on purpose.
No, it was a lefty on lefty, and he was. I mean, threw a fastball to kind of run in. I mean, he almost like a check swing started, and then it exposed it. I mean, hit him in the hand. You know, what I mean, and
right.
I mean, or the wrist right down below, and I mean, that's the last thing you want to see. But it was lefty on lefty. It
right.
wasn't a rib cage shot.
No,
or a back
and
or
Julio
the
Turan
back or a head shot.
Julio Turan's first pitch the next day was to Batista inside 94 miles per hour. He hit him with a second pitch at 95 miles per hour. Batista didn't do anything. But what followed was a lot of Toronto runs. They had three in the first, six more before Toronto's ugly three-inning pitching line was completed. So Batista just walked away with a bruise on his thigh. But you're seeing a lot of these...
Well, he done it right. But, I mean, I have no problem. If you felt like something needed to done, but did I think... I mean, Freddie got hit on purpose? No.
Right.
I mean, by what I saw... But we all don't know if there was an underlying problem going on that we hadn't seen.
Right.
You know, we're just seeing one pitch get away a little bit inside.
But there was another game where somebody was up 5-0, and the team that was down 5-0, the guy swung at a 3-0 pitch. And they're saying that that's, you know, a violation of old school baseball. So where does it end? And if you look at Earl Weaver, the unbelievable manager for the Orioles, Earl Weaver would discourage his pitchers from retaliation. And his logic was – that, you know, you're just going to get one of our guys hurt, or one of their guys hurt. And he always claimed that he has better guys than the other team. So why would we do that? Why would we, you know, set up something? So if you look at his at Earl Weaver, again, who had an incredible career with the Orioles, his team always had the fewest amount of hit by pitches or the second fewest in his 11 years. So and I guess it bore out. So I don't know. I don't know whether the old school team or old school rules or old school philosophy can really help out.
Well, I mean, there's times when you got to pitch inside. And when you pitch inside, sometimes ball get away a little bit. And if you got a guy that dives a little bit, he's going to get hit. And not meaning to.
Right.
I mean, I can't tell you how many guys I hit that way. I mean, get grazed a forearm or got hit in the elbow. I mean, that graze didn't hit them solid, but it hit them. I mean, because they tend to dive and do that type of thing. But there comes a time where you have to protect your teammates if they're getting hit, and depending on what's going on in the game.
All right, that leads us to today's game. Aaron Nola, 2-0, facing a Delaware native, Chad Kuhl, who is 1-4, 6.69 ERA. The lineup: Hernandez, Galvis, Altair, Saunders, Herrera, Franco, Stassi, Knapp, and Nola. Let's hope the Phillies can get a win today. That wraps up today's Baseball Insider Show, presented by SEPTA Live from Tony's Place on 1490 WBCB. I'd like to thank my co-host today, Tommy Green, our engineer today, Chris Ermer, program director, Bob Giaquinto. We got Matt Miro, Brianna O'Neill. Back in the studio, get Jack Urban, Brooks Say, and I. Thanks to the good folks here at Tony's Place for hosting us today. We'll be back next Sunday for the Phillies take on the Cincinnati Reds at 1:35 p.m. Over Memorial Day weekend. Stay tuned for Phillies on Deck with Jim Jackson. And as the legendary Harry the K says,
we're out of here.
You've been listening to the Baseball Insider Show, presented by SEPTA, an exclusive presentation of 1490 AM WBCB, and heard around the world at WBCB1490.com.